pulling him for a moment. Samuel Lemke uttered a short, bewildered laugh, perhaps at the idea of a white, upper-middle-class lawyer from Fairview, Connecticut, cursing a man who was probably the oldest gypsy in America. Billy himself would have laughed 2 months ago. Taduz Lemke, however, was not laughing. "You think men like me don't have the power to curse?" Billy asked. He held his hands, his thin, wasted hands, up on either side of his face and slowly splayed the fingers. He looked like a variety show host asking an audience to end their applause. "We have the power. We're good at cursing once we get started, old man. Don't make me start." There was movement behind the old man, a flash of white nightgown and black hair. "Gina!" Samuel Lemke cried out. Billy saw her step forward into the light, saw her raise the slingshot, draw the cradle back, and release it all in the same smooth gesture, like an artist drawing a line on a blank pad. He thought he saw a liquid, streaky gleam in the air as the steel ball flew across the circle, but that was almost certainly just imagination. There was a hot, glassy spear of pain in his left hand. It was gone almost as soon as it came. He heard the steel ball bearing she had fired thwang off the steel side of a van. At the same moment, he realized he could see the girl's drawn, furious face, not framed in his spread fingers, but through his palm, where there was a neat, round hole. "She slingshotted me," he thought. "Holy Christ, she did!" Blood, black as tar in the firelight, ran down the pad of his palm and soaked the sleeve of his sport coat.
"Encout!" she screamed. "Get out of here, Eilik! Get out of here, killing bastard!"
She threw the slingshot. It landed at the edge of the fire, a wishbone shape with a rubber cup the size of an eye patch caught in its fork. Then she fled, shrieking. No one moved. Those around the fire, the two young men, the old man, and Billy himself, all of them stood in tableau. There was the slam of a door, and the girl's shrieks were muffled. And still there was no pain. Suddenly, not even knowing he meant to do it, Billy held his bleeding hand out toward Lemke. The old man flinched back and forked the sign of the evil eye at Billy. Billy closed his hand as Lemke had done. Blood ran from his closed fist as it had run from Lemke's closed fist. "The curse of the white man is on you, Mr. Lemke. They don't write about that one in books, but I'm telling you it's true. And you believe that." The old man screamed the flood of Romany. Billy felt himself hauled backward so suddenly that his head snapped on his neck. His feet left the ground. "They're going to throw me in the fire. Christ, they're going to roast me in it." Instead, he was carried back the way he had come. Through the circle, people fell out of their chairs, scrambling away from him, and between two pickups with camper caps. From one of them, Billy heard a TV crackling out something with a laugh track. The man in the vest grunted. Billy was swung like a sack of grain, a very underweight sack of grain, and then for a moment he was flying. He landed in the timothy grass beyond the parked vehicles with a thud. This hurt a good deal more than the hole in his hand. There were no padded places on him anymore, and he felt his bones rattle inside his body like loose stakes in an old truck. He tried to get up, and at first could not. White lights danced in front of his eyes. He groaned. Samuel Lemke came toward him. The boy's handsome face was smooth and deadly and expressionless. He reached into the pocket of his jeans and brought out something. Billy at first thought it was a stick, and only recognized it for what it was when Lemke unfolded the blade. He held his bleeding hand out, palm up, and Lemke hesitated. Now there was an expression on his face, one Billy recognized from his own bathroom mirror. It was fear. His companion muttered something to him. Lemke hesitated for a moment, looking down at Billy. Then he refolded the blade into the knife's dark body. He spat in Billy's direction. A moment later, the two of them were gone. He lay there for a moment, trying to reconstruct everything, to make some sense of it. But that was a lawyer's trick, and it would not serve him here in this dark place. His hand was starting to talk very loudly about what had happened to it now, and he thought that very soon it would hurt a lot more. Unless, of course, they changed their minds and came back here for him. Then they might end all hurting in very short order, and forever. That got him moving. He rolled over, slid his knees up to what was left of his stomach, then paused there a moment with his left cheek pressed against the beaten Timothy and his ass in the air, while a wave of faintness and nausea rode through him like a breaking wave. When it passed, he was able to get to his feet and start up the hill to where his car was parked. He fell down twice on the way. The second time, he believed it was going to be impossible to get to his feet again. Somehow, mostly by thinking about Linda, sleeping quietly and blamelessly in her bed, he was able to do it. Now his hand felt as if a dark red infection was pulsing in it and working its way up his forearm toward his elbow. An endless time later, he reached the rental Ford and scrabbled for the keys. He had put them in his left pocket, and so he had to reach across his crotch with his right hand to get at them. He started the car and paused for a moment, his screaming hand lying palm up on his left thigh like a bird that had been shot. He looked down at the circle of vans and campers and the twinkle of the fire. A ghost of some old song came to him. She danced around the fire to a gypsy melody. Sweet young woman in motion, how she enchanted me. He lifted his left hand slowly in front of his face. Ghostly green light from the car's instrument panel spilled through the round dark hole in his palm. She enchanted me, all right, Billy thought, and dropped the car in drive. He wondered, with almost clinical detachment, if he would be able to make it back to the Frenchman's Bay Motel. Somehow, he did.